Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, yakkers. I hope you had a wonderful weekend.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. Did you have a wonderful weekend?
I think it was a blur.
A blur.
As usual.
All right.
I think this one more so.
I don't know.
They're all blending. Yeah. The weekends are going by way too fast, I think.
They usually do.
Yeah. Anyway, on with the show, please.
We do have a Twitter follower.
A single Twitter follower. Yay! Hey, everyone counts.
It's Queer Dear Media. Thank you, Queer Dear Media, for your follow.
Thank you very much.
So, on to what I want to talk about.
Okay, and what will that be?
I want to talk about the Michigan...
I just had a thought in my head, but I won't say it. No. A song in particular. No. Anyways, go ahead.
I want to talk about the Michigan sodomy law.
My thought kind of was in that genre. So, yeah. Okay, anyways.
Some of you may wonder about the new Michigan bill that would outlaw oral and anal sex. But wonder no more. Those outlandish allegations are simply not accurate.
Say what?
So, on January 28th, the Michigan State Senate passed State Bill 219, a bill from Republican Senator Rick Jones, which amended a portion of the Michigan Penal Code pertaining to animal cruelty, primarily to crack down on the breeding, sale, and use of animals for fighting and baiting. Activities such as dog fights.
Okay, pause.
Yeah.
Where do you get that?
Okay.
And the sodomy law?
Wait.
It's kind of not where I was thinking for the whole animal cruelty. I thought it was going to go in a different route, but...
Right.
Okay.
So what it does is prevent anyone convicted of animal abuse from owning another animal for 5 years.
Okay.
What it's doing is updating a current law.
Okay. Where do you get the freaking sodomy out of that?
Okay. The current law says this, that a person who commits crimes against nature with mankind is guilty of felony punishable by up to 15 years in prison. Basically sodomy. It says in there sodomy.
How are they going to prove that?
It doesn't matter how they prove it. It's in the law.
Okay.
Okay. It's a law from 1920.
From 20 who?
26.
Thank you.
I think the date's 26.
Okay.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
So what's been going around the internets lately is that Michigan's passing a new bill outlawing sodomy.
Okay.
There's a new bill in Michigan that can outlaw gay sex.
Okay.
It's not true. And that's what I want to talk about, is how not true it is.
I know, but I can't quite, get it, but the wrapping my head around they're passing an animal cruelty law and a sodomy law at the same time?
As written, the law covers both, because they considered both criminal acts similar to each other. Sodomy against mankind or sodomy against animals.
Okay, I can't help it. I gotta say it. Every time you say that, I'm thinking bestiality.
It is. This is a law against bestiality as well. It covers bestiality as well as human sodomy.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what is wrong with this is that my entire news feed earlier this week, was covered with all this false allegations of Michigan passing new sodomy law.
Oh, okay. So they see it as they're trying to pass a brand new, never heard of law.
Right.
Which it's been on the books.
Since 1931. Sorry, my notes were wrong, but there it is, 1931.
Yeah, still long time.
Long time.
Right.
And has been invalidated and considered unenforceable since 2003 with the Lawrence versus Texas Supreme Court case, which made it unconstitutional to outlaw consensual sex between two adults.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How are you going to prove what they're doing in their bedroom?
Yeah.
Or anywhere else for that matter.
Exactly. So the issue is there's still 13 states that have these laws on the books.
Right. Well, there's a lot of states that have a lot of old, antiquated, stupid laws.
Right.
Now, the animal cruelty thing still stands.
Right. And that was the guy who put the amendment in. What was his name? Rick Jones.
Okay.
Said he doesn't want to touch that part of the bill because he is so adamant about getting this one part amended, because this is about, it stems from some guy poured acid on a husky.
Right.
And he shouldn't have had that dog. because he's a convicted
animal. Right, he wants to keep the focus on the animal cruelty.
Right,
he does, and not let it get overshadowed by the sodomy right,
he
aspect.
He was afraid that if he brought up during the change to take out the sodomy, the mankind part, he was afraid he'd get such backlash from the right that he wouldn't be able to pass this really important part.
Right.
Right, which I get, especially when it's an unenforceable law. It means nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
But everyone's focus right now with gay rights and everything, that's where their focus is versus on the animal rights part.
Correct.
Yes. I really wanted
to call out, especially our side. I don't normally call out our side on this sort of thing, but this one is really important.
You'll call out if someone's wrong. Well, yeah, who gives a crap whose side it is. True.
But what I really want people to do is actually, when these stories come up, and they inevitably will, look at the laws being passed. Just even a cursory, you could go and look at it and say, okay, this is what's being changed. This is what is not being changed.
Right. Look up the actual law itself, not by, word of mouth from other sources, other people, you know?
Make sure you're reading it because they're not that hard to read. I mean, seriously, when they make changes, they're very obvious. If they're new changes, they're underlined. If they're taking something away, it's a strike through.
And I think that's important actually to, let everyone know the way to go about doing that when you want to find out for yourself what the actual facts are, versus what you find online or what people are saying.
Right.
And I think it's important to let everyone know how to go about doing
that. Right. And I get it. Calling out these laws as bad, great, wonderful. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. But not at the cost of getting a better law amended.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one is an animal cruelty law. Should be amended.
Right.
So that these guys can't get more animals.
Right.
Because obviously these guys get this all the time and it pisses me off.
Right. And it's a necessity because there are a lot of people out there who have some mental issues and should not own an animal. But right now, obviously the focus is being taken away because of, the whole sodomy aspect of it.
So,
I mean, I get how they can go together, but at the same time, I'm like, what?
Well, they were considered the same kind of sin.
I get that, but yeah, hurts my head.
Anyway.
Okay.
That's done. My rant is done.
Alrighty, let's move.
Sort of.
I was going to say, I seriously doubt it, but fine, move.
Hi, I'm Dina, writer and creator of secularscarlet.wordpress.com blog. With a passion for archaeology and humanities, you can find many subjects addressed, including atheism, religion, women's issues around the world, and articles hitting our news. Come on over and check out what is on my mind this week.
Georgia bill to allow students to pray.
Say what?
Yeah. Did you already say that? Say what?
Did I? Oh, yeah. My bad.
That's okay.
I have a habit of doing that. I can't help it.
Right. So here's an interesting one. The Georgia House is considering a bill that would enact legislation that affirms the right of religious students to pray before, during, and after school, and be allowed to create groups, gathering, and access the school in the same manner that non-religious activities are handled.
Huh?
So religious groups can form, people can pray in the same way that non-religious groups can form. And non-religious people can pray.
This is during school hours?
Well, the religious groups would be after school hours, just like any other extracurricular activity.
Uh-huh.
They would be allowed to pray before, during, or after school, just like they currently do.
I was going to say, they already can do this.
Right. Because you don't have to have a special, most religions don't have to have a special time to go pray.
Uh-huh.
You can pray at your desk. You can pray silently at your desk. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
I was going to say, because you can have basically any after or before school group, religious or not.
So the schools are required, and thanks to actually atheists, that schools are required that if they have one type of after school activity, they must allow all types of after school activity, regardless of religious.
Right, which I'm fine with that.
So here's the problem with this legislation, and again, this is a big issue for me. It's useless. It's a useless piece of legislation.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is a waste of time.
Right.
We already have this.
Right. And it's to pass a law for a law that already exists.
Exactly.
We already have these freedoms. There's no one taking away the freedom of Christians or Muslims or Hindus or anybody to pray in school.
As long as it's not during school hours and out loud or disruptive during school.
Right. And not led by administration or teachers.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But what this really is this idea of fake religious persecution.
Ah, back to that again.
They're using this as a way of pointing to the persecution they, quote, suffer.
Yes, because they're in just a snowball's effect of persecution right now.
Right. If this passes, religious right will point to this and say, see, we were so persecuted in Georgia, we had to pass a law so that we could pray in school.
But they already can do this. This makes no sense.
I'm telling you, this will happen if this passes. If this law passes, Ted Cruz will get on there and say, we had to pass a law in Georgia.
I understand why this would pass if they already have the right to do so.
There's no opposition against it. Why would you oppose such a bill that is religious freedom?
But it already exists. Right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. There's already a large section of the population that believes that students aren't allowed to pray.
Then do research and learn you can. I mean, how do you not? I mean, I guess it's possible to not know that, but anytime you want to start a group, all you have to do is go to the school board and they will tell you, yes, you can.
Right. I agree.
I mean, we did that with our daughter.
Right. And they were like, yeah, okay. There was a little bit of back and forth.
A little controversy because she wanted to start a secular group, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
No, it really wasn't like, you know, all dirty and, you know, this huge fighter. It wasn't like that. But at the same time, anytime anyone wants to start a group, all you have to do is go to the school, say, I want to start this, and they have the meeting on it,
right.
And they tell you, yeah, go right ahead.
Right. But like I said, this is what my issue. This bill all but confirms religious persecution.
Of course it does. It's just the whiny thing again.
Right.
That's all they do anymore is like, woe is us. We're dying. Help. We will claw at anyone in our way to get back to the top.
Yeah. Sadly, this is not the only one of its.
Well, duh.
There are different versions of Religious Freedom Restoration Act style legislation all over the country.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Right.
West Virginia, Michigan, North Carolina, Florida, Indiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and South Carolina all considering new RFRA or amending their current RFRA. Some of these are actually pretty bad.
Yeah.
South Carolina, for example, says a private child placing agency is not required to perform, assist, recommend, consent, or participate in the placement of a child that is contrary to religious or moral convictions or policies of the agency.
Translate that for our slower people.
No adopting by gay parents.
Well, that's what I got out. How can you do that?
They're saying that any private organization that does adoptions that has a religious belief. Of course, I don't see how organizations can have a religious belief. But according to the Hobby Lobby, yes, they can.
Yeah.
Can be forced to allow gays to adopt. That's basically what that system is. And technically, that could be taken further. If, say, it was a fundamentalist Christian company,
mm-hmm.
No Muslims can adopt. No Hindus can adopt. No atheists can adopt.
But how can they? They can't do that. That's discriminating.
It's right there. That's what they want to put in.
I don't give a crap if I almost said something else. I don't give a crap if it's right there or not. That doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change our rights.
Right. I agree. That's why I'm against this bill.
Well, that's why it frustrates the hell out of me, because to me, that's a complete waste of freaking time.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of this is a waste of time, and it's absolutely absurd that it's even being considered in the first place.
Right.
I'm sorry. If you have like a constitutional right that overrides that, why are you even looking at it?
I
don't understand. There's already a rule in place that totally wipes that off the board. Right. What's
another
the point?
Useless.
A waste of time, waste of money, you can name it. Why? To me, it sounds like a joke, and it's no wonder, you know, sometimes this country seems to be falling apart because we do stupid shit like this. Ooh, can I say that?
That's fine.
But yeah, whatever. I mean, it's just absurd.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the worst one is Oklahoma.
Okay, I'll have to watch my little P's and Q's, I guess.
No individual or religious entity shall be required by any governmental entity to do any of the following, if it would be contrary to sincerely held religious beliefs of the individual or religious entity regarding sex, gender, or sexual orientation. They actually put the word sexual orientation in. Provide any services, accommodations, advantages, facilities, goods, or privileges. Provide counseling, adoption, foster care, or other social services. Provide employment or employment benefits related to celebration of any marriage, domestic partnership, civil union, or similar arrangement. Solemnize any marriage, domestic partnership, civil union, or similar arrangement. Treat any marriage, domestic partnership, civil union, or similar arrangement as valid.
So,
anti-gay marriage.
Well, yeah, so they're saying they're not going to have to do that?
Yeah, they don't have to provide services for gay marriages at all.
Now, what? Who said that?
This is Oklahoma. They're amending their bill to say this.
Again, I'm still...
Because they already have a RFRA. They're amending it.
God, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, so they're basically saying we're not going to require any business to do anything that relates to gay marriage. You don't need to bake a cake. You don't need to provide flowers. You don't have to print invitations.
Can they get away with that?
No, they won't. They'll be sued.
It's complete discrimination. It blows my mind how these, I don't know, states, I guess, think they can do crap like this.
Yeah.
I swear, where is the united in United States?
This is the whole idea.
It's constantly more and more. It's like all these states want to be their own little mini countries.
Yeah, I know.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. RFRA is a very frustrating thing. It originally, great. It was awesome. But it's been twisted to the point where it's become Christian privilege.
Yeah.
It's no longer religious freedom. It's Christian freedom.
Yeah, obviously. That's that's like a neon sign.
Yeah.
Are we done with that?
Yeah,
are we moving? Because I'm getting frustrated.
So here's something that won't frustrate you.
I mean, if you were done, though.
I'm done.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Good, because irritating.
Einstein predictions are proved right 100 years after.
Cool.
Last week, scientists listened to two massive black holes, each 100 kilometers across, circling each other in the void some 1.3 billion years ago. Got that?
Okay.
As the black holes drew closer, they finally combined, smashing together in a violent merger that sent vast amounts of energy hurtling out in the form of gravitational waves.
Ah, the gravitational.
Yeah. These waves, tiny distortions in the fabric of space and time, a bit like ripples on the surface of a pond, had been predicted by Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity 100 years ago. But until now, they had never been directly detected.
And now we have.
Now we have.
That's awesome.
Yes. Jackson Levy Syed, an astrophysicist at ISA, who focused on the study of gravity, points out that while gravitational waves were until now the last miss of Einstein's prediction, actually detecting them will allow scientists to go further and hammer down the edges of Einstein's theory.
That's really awesome. I mean, the fact that, you know, he did that 100 years ago, and here we are today being able to do that, you know,
Well, we didn't actually see it. We heard it.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, to be here at that time.
Right.
You know?
So, Einstein's theory of gravitational waves were predicted by Einstein's general theory of relativity in 1915. It originally proposed space-time as a concept, but the final thing that we were waiting for was these gravitational waves.
Right, right.
And we've never been able to detect them until now because of LIGO, which is a big old something or other. I don't know what the hell it is.
That's very scientific of you.
It's a big old something or other in Washington State.
Really?
Yeah, down by Hanford.
Really?
Yeah. They needed to create, but in order to detect them, even by LIGO, they needed a mammoth event, which would be two black holes colliding.
Right, right.
So, what's her name?
Really?
Yeah. What it says right here? Oh.
It says what's her name?
Yes. Deidre Shoemaker, a Georgia Tech physicist who works at LIGO, said this. Imagine having never been able to hear before, and all you can do is see. Now we can listen to the universe where we were deaf before. It's a different spectrum from the electromagnetic spectrum. It's unlike anything we've ever detected.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then David Reitz, I think that's how you say his name, the executive director of LIGO, said this. What's really exciting is what comes next. I think we're opening a window on the universe, a window of gravitational wave astronomy.
Oh.
Because now, so what, if I read it right, LIGO can detect like to the millionth of a proton in gravitational change.
Wow.
So it's amazing.
Yeah. To say the least.
To actually detect gravity. Detect it. Not just theorize that it's there, but to detect it.
Right, yeah. I mean, huge strides are to be made at, you know, looking and exploring our universe.
It helps us understand more about how the universe works and maybe how it came to be. Maybe we can go past what we know now.
Right.
And see, maybe there's gravitational waves that give us an idea of how the universe came to be. I don't know.
Yeah, and I personally think we need to go back to exploring space more than, I mean, you know, we pretty much just chop that off.
Yeah, well, that's coming back. I have a feeling that our next president,
if it's
the right one, will reinstitute NASA, because NASA's been gutted. NASA does have a bigger budget here, so that's a plus.
Oh, does it?
They're planning missions to Mars and missions to the moon.
Yeah, I think it's very naive and stupid of us to cut off a program like that and to just sit on our planet and not look past our own atmosphere. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, there is so much to learn out there. It's actually mind-boggling. And I think it's very ignorant and to just, I mean, there's so much you can learn and it's like never ending.
Yeah, that's the beauty of physics. It's you never stop.
No.
It's always something new.
I mean, not only what we learn out there or how this planet came to be or what have you, there's new technologies that just come out of that alone. I mean.
Yeah, maybe we'll get hoverboards out of that.
Like
real hoverboards, not the ones that
catch on fire. I was saying, not the ones that catch on fire, because that's what I was thinking. Anyways,
we're moving on.
All righty.
Justice Antonin Scalia died this
week. Yes, he did.
At age 79.
Yeah, I think that actually surprised a lot of people.
Yeah. He died in his sleep Friday night while at a Texas ranch. Scalia was appointed in 1986 by Reagan. He was not a friend of progress and certainly made many opinions that were against the idea of inequality. But not because he was against equality, but because he considered himself to be a strict constitutionalist and was opposed to the idea that it was a living document. His idea, if that it was not specifically in the Constitution, then the voters should decide, not the courts.
Huh.
So basically he was saying, if the Constitution doesn't say gay rights, then the voters get to decide. If the Constitution doesn't say abortion, the voters get to decide.
Interesting.
If the Constitution doesn't say civil rights, the voters get to decide.
Huh.
So he wasn't necessarily anti-equality, right?
Right.
But he was this super strict constitutionalist that believed the founders wrote it exactly as it should always be and have no meaning interpreted into it. It's
kind of like some people take the Bible.
Yeah. Well, he took the Bible that way. He literally believed in
deity. So we should stone our children when they piss us off.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Not that we would wish the death of anyone, right?
No, not at all.
This one is actually good for the country.
Wait, what?
Because he left the court. He's off the court.
He left an opening.
He left an opening in the court. Yeah, as we're attempting to progress into.
Right.
Yeah, he had once actually said that he was waiting to retire in hopes of getting a judge on the court that wouldn't undo all that he has done.
Oh.
That's why he stayed on for 30 years.
Literally till he dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody likes to see anyone go regardless of who they are. But, you know, that's just what happens with any living organism.
Right. And it's, at 79,
it's bound to happen. Right. But I do see the fact that now there's an open seat.
Right.
And who knows what's going to fill it.
Right.
Or whom.
So our condolences go out to the family and friends.
Yes.
And then let's hope for something better.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to watch and see who, you know, fills that. I mean, yeah. It could go any direction, I suppose.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
And that's right. Time for Potter
Award. Potter Award.
And it may be no secret to anyone around here. The Republican Party is not one of our favorites.
I will have to agree.
But they really outdone themselves this week.
When do they not?
Okay. No, really. And this is related to the Scalia.
So, in other words, our Potter Award is the Republican Party?
Yeah, well, sections of the Republican Party. I can do it. I own the Potter Award. Tell me what I can and can't
say
do.
It's Mr. Potter Award. Mr. Thank Potter. You.
We're going to have to take this to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, me.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, this is related to the Scalia death.
Okay.
And leave it to the Republicans to throw the biggest fit over this possible.
Seriously.
Senate Republicans are already planning to block any Obama nomination.
And in what way?
Well, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said this. The American people should have a voice in this selection of Supreme Court justice. Therefore, this vacancy should not be filled until we have a new president.
That's funny.
Yeah. Which is...
Because it works like that, right?
Yeah, because it works like that. No.
Exactly my point.
That's not how Supreme Court justice nomination works. When one retires or dies, you take a few weeks and then you replace them.
Right. The president standing has to replace.
Yeah. Whoever is in office at the time gets to replace him regardless of how long he has left. If he has 2 days left.
Well,
yeah, sure.
Not only that, it's February.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a new president in for quite some time.
Until next
January. So it's
January.
Not like they can. Yeah. I know that. But so that's what I'm saying. That's almost a year.
Supreme Court shouldn't sit that long.
They can't just sit there.
Right. Supreme Court should not sit that long. One person.
They just want to wait till they, get the Republican president in there to stick in who they need.
Well, McConnell's not the only one.
Duh. It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Senator Ted Cruz said this. Justice Scalia was an American hero. We owe it to him and the nation for the Senate to ensure the next president names his replacement. Basically, don't care what Obama nominates, the Senate should not allow him through.
Gosh. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley said this. The fact of the matter is, it's been standard practice over the last 80 years to not confirm Supreme Court nominees during a presidential election year.
Translate.
He said that standard practice not to have Supreme Court filled when they're electing a new president. because they want to wait for the new president.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can't do that.
Well, not only that, it's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got the numbers to figure it to prove it. Of course. Now, this goes back a little further than 80 years in some
incidences.
Uh-huh. In 1911,
uh-huh,
Republican-controlled Senate confirmed Malone Pitney. Sorry.
I was going to say, you have to tell me.
I don't know. He was nominated by William Taft during an election year, right? In 1912.
Right.
In 1916, Woodrow Wilson nominated John Clark, and he was unanimously confirmed 10 days later. In 1932, Herbert Hoover nominated Benjamin Cardozo. Senate confirmed Cardozo by unanimous vote 2 weeks later. Uh-huh. January 4th, 1940, Franklin Roosevelt nominated Frank Murphy, approved on January 16th, 1940.
So
these are election years.
Right.
And the one that gets my goats, this uh-huh one's awesome because it proves him absolutely wrong. November 30, 1987, Ronald Reagan nominated Justice Anthony Kennedy. Senate confirmed him on February 3rd, 1988, an election year, and he's still sitting on
it. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be clear, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president can't appoint a justice in his final years. However, this is the best part.
Okay.
I dare the Republicans to try and block this nomination, because it will actually do is piss off a lot of progressives and drive them to the polls.
Oh, good
which
point.
It has historically been bad news for Republicans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a pattern of this? Whenever there is high turnout at the polls in November, Republicans lose. When there's low turnout, Republicans.
So that says to everyone, vote.
Yeah, but I'm not done here.
Of course you're not. You never are.
There are some who think this is a
conspiracy. Wait, that his death is a conspiracy? Yes.
And we didn't have to wait long for that one either.
Well, I was going to say, we're talking, you know, from when we record this show, hours.
Well, yeah.
You know, days. Several yeah hours.
Yeah, we found out yesterday, and now it's Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, 48 hours.
Oh, gosh.
Perpetual crank and professional tinfoil hat wearer Alex Jones comes through.
Oh, of course.
Jones posted a video to the InfoWars Facebook page. And according to Jones, an emergency transmission.
Seriously?
It's an emergency transmission.
The world's ending.
You know, pretty much. In which he claimed that Scalia had been murdered by the current presidential administration.
Wow.
Yes.
And this not is just murdered, but who it's by.
Yeah. And the quote is this. The question is, was Antonin Scalia murdered? And the answer to that is, has the Bill of Rights and Constitution been murdered? Has it been reported to the members of the Supreme Court have been blackmailed? Yes, it has.
The guy is a nut.
A professional tinfoil hat wearer.
A nut.
Yeah. Sadly, Jones isn't the only one. I got a couple.
They're like vultures, if you notice this.
Yeah, I found a couple tweets.
Anytime something like this happens, whether it's tragedy or whatever, usually a tragedy, they jump on top of it in seconds and do crap like this. It's the same with several things that have happened, you know, through time. It's, ugh.
So there's a couple others out there. And I just grabbed a couple of quick ones off Twitter. There's tons of them. Go find them.
Yeah.
Teresa says, the SCOTUS was about to spank Obama once more for ruling by fiat and slap down his renegade EPA. Scalia died of natural causes, my ass.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty disgusting. I mean, to basically just spit all over someone's death is kind of what that is.
I don't expect anything more, from honestly.
I mean,
it's one thing to use it for political pandering, right?
Yeah.
To block the nomination, but to instantly think it was murder.
But to just degrade it like that, it's pretty disgusting, no matter whose death it is.
And I've got one more.
All right.
Roy Boy says, I know Scalia was 79, but I hope an autopsy was done to make sure Obama didn't have him killed.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That is a direct quote from me.
Yes, because that's high on his agenda as he walks out the door.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, people are stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's true.
Yeah, I know. And that's why these guys have earned themselves Mr. Potter Award this
week. So we had a very multi-weird Potter Award this week.
Yeah, it was a little different, but I had to highlight this stuff.
Because it's all Potter worthy. It's absurd.
Yeah, Alex Jones generally won't get mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
But when you do stupid stuff like that, you're going to get...
Oh, gosh. The stupidity is just makes my head hurt. And pretty much the disgusting aspect of it, too. Much. I mean, it's really awful.
Yeah, it is. And that's all the yakking we're going to have for you this
week. And you'll hear back from us next week.
All right. See ya.
Adios.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.